What's up, everybody? Mike Florio from RotoBaller here, and today I'm going to be doing a fantasy football video. I did a lot of fantasy baseball videos already, and you can check them all out at RotoBaller.com, RotoBaller's YouTube page, Blog Talk Radio, wherever you like to get your fantasy baseball advice. And while you're on the YouTube page, our own Anthony Aniano did a great job breaking down all the rookie running backs and what you can expect from them in fantasy this year. Highly recommend that video. I'm going to take a little bit of a different approach. I'm going to look at backfields as a whole now, because now that the NFL draft is behind us, we know what the team's backfields are going to look like. And hey, at times like this, a lot of us are probably looking to do a fantasy football draft or two. And if you are one of those people looking to draft, well then let me tell you about RotoBaller's good friends, the FFPC, the home of season-long fantasy football. It's been 11 years since the FFPC filled their first league, and they've grown to be the world's largest dynasty league commissioner. Not a single FFPC league has ever folded, and there's more startup dynasty leagues every single season. The FFPC also has plenty of great slow draft and live draft formats, including best ball draft starting at $35. Best of all, every RotoBaller listener can get $25 FFPC contest. All you got to do is go to rotoballer.com/FFPC to take advantage of this great offer. Do not miss out on the FFPC, the home of season-long fantasy football. So like I was saying, right, a lot of us are trying to get into drafts like these, like at the FF, which is a great spot to do a baseball draft for those who draft a team, that's it, and each week your optimal lineup gets set. Whoever team scores the most points at the end wins. It's a back into fantasy football. So if you're thinking about jumping in, getting those toes wet, the FFPC is for you. You need to know about all these backfields. And that's where all of our great talent over at rotoballer.com comes in. I'm going to, in this first part, a two-part series. In the first part, it's going to go over all of the teams that drafted a higher-end running back. And I'm going to start off with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because I think they are the most interesting team of all the teams that took a rookie running back. The Tampa Bay backfield was a spot that was coveted, right? We were hoping Clyde Edwards-Helaire went there, or Jonathan Taylor, or DeAndre Swift, but that honor ended up going to Keyshawn Vaughn out of Vanderbilt. And there's a lot of upside to be had here, because like we said, the Bucs won last year. They were just searching for a three-down back. And Bruce Arians came out after the season and said he wants the Cardinals to target a three-down back in the draft. And then they went out and they drafted Keyshawn Vaughn. And let's remember, Ronald Jones, you're going to hear from a lot of people that he is younger than Keyshawn Vaughn and that he costs more draft capital than Keyshawn Vaughn. But what they're missing is that it was not Bruce Arians who invested in Ronald Jones. It was the regime before Bruce Arians. So the draft capital doesn't mean much to me. And then also, yes, he may be younger, but Ronald Jones last year was the Bucs' best running back. I don't think it's really debatable. I think everyone will admit he is better than Peyton Barber. He is better than Dare Ogunbowale. But Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones split touches last year. Jones averaged just over 12 touches per game. Peyton Barber was 10 touches per game. And Ogunbowale actually played more snaps. Well, he ran more routes, I mean, and he had more targets. He was more used in the passing game, because pass blocking has been an issue for Ronald Jones. We know Bruce Arians has been vocal about this. We've seen Ronald Jones get benched in the past for that. And PFF graded Ronald Jones pass blocking. They gave it a 38.4 grade, by far the lowest of all the Bucs running backs last year. And Vaughn at Vanderbilt, I know it's college, not the NFL, but he had a 67 grade, which easily would have been the best on the Bucs last year. So the fact, and that was something that Bruce Arians has talked about, is Keyshawn Vaughn's blocking ability, his pass blocking, and that alone should get him on the field at times that Dare Ogunbowale was on the field last year. Those third down, the two-minute drill, the obvious passing scenarios, I think you will see Keyshawn Vaughn there. But at the same time, the reason why Bruce Arians has been highlighting that he wants a three-down back is because your backfield, your offense becomes more predictable if you have a set pass catching back and a set running back. For example, if you're going to use Ronald Jones on first and second down, the defense is more so going to know that you are going to run the ball. Rather, if you have a guy back there like a Vaughn potentially could be, who can catch passes, can pass block, and can run, rather than just be one or the other. So it gives that little unpredictability, that variance to the offense that we know that head coaches in the NFL love. So as of right, oh, and the last stat I want to give you guys on Keyshawn Vaughn as to why I like him so much. Last year, the Bucs used the inside zone running formation 31% of the time. Keyshawn Vaughn and Vanderbilt, they ran it 45% of the time. So we know there's a good fit there, because the running in the zone schemes is something that we have heard of running backs struggle to do when they come out of college. And as of right now, because I think Keyshawn Vaughn's ceiling is, I think he's the only Bucs back that could be a three down back here. So I have him ranked the highest just because I think his ceiling is the highest. I have him as my RB25. And for Ronald Jones, I have him as my RB39. I do think there is still upside in Ronald Jones. He still could be the lead touch getter out of these running backs here. But again, the fact that Arians didn't give him ever really set him free last year, give him a bulk of the workload, it was always a committee. The fact that he, even after the season, he emphasized wanting to get a three down back, and then the fact that he paid a third round price to get Vaughn, that all makes me think that Vaughn is going to be the guy here. So that is why I have him ranked as I do. The Chiefs backfield, we all know that this one was greatly impacted by fantasy, and it happened on day one. Pick 32, the only running back to go in round one of the draft, Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of LSU. And what I love about CEH is his route running ability. People have said that he is the best route running running back in the league already coming out of college since Christian McCaffrey, which is the highest of praise that you could give a running back. We know he's going to be okay in the pass blocking. And here's the thing. I understand people are saying, oh, well, Damian Williams is still there. He's still a thing. It seems to me like a lot of those people last year were writing off Damian Williams and saying he's not going to hold up. He can't handle the starter's workload, yada, yada, yada. All these different reasons why they didn't like Damian Williams. I was a Damian Williams guy last year, and it didn't work out. He got hurt, and he just couldn't stay on the field. When he was on the field, he was productive for fantasy, and that is what I care about. The whole reason I wanted a running back to fall here, the whole reason I liked Damian Williams last year, because if you could give me a running back, especially one who could catch passes with Patrick Mahomes, that right there is infinitely valuable for fantasy. Then you add in the fact that now you have a Tyreek Hill, a Travis Kelce, a Mecole Hardman, a Sammy Watkins, who are stretching the field. Now you got to put your safeties back. Now you can, you know, have your defense crowd the line of scrimmage. It's just going to create so much space that little dump off to CEH and then a 10-yard run is going to be there all the time. Plus, we know he can run routes, and that is something we saw the Chiefs do with Damian Williams. Damian Williams isn't just that back that's going to stand, you know, 2 yards behind the quarterback who he could quickly dump it off to and then run for some yards. Damian Williams was running routes at times last year, downfield routes, so CEH, I think, is going to be used all heavily in this Chiefs offense. And here's the last point about why I think he's going to be so heavily used. Andy Reid has never drafted a first-round running back until Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The only running back he's taken in the first two rounds was LeSean McCoy. We know how that ended up. And Andy Reid has said that Clyde Edwards-Helaire compares to Brian Westbrook, but he's even better than Brian Westbrook. And we know how dangerous Brian Westbrook and LeSean McCoy was with Andy Reid in fantasy. And he's saying this guy could be even better. Plus, the last point that you need to know, Patrick Mahomes, they asked him, if we could draft one player, who would you want it to be? And he handpicked Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He said, go get Clyde. And now they have him. I think they're going to unleash him. I don't expect there to be much limitations, maybe early on in the season as he starts to get acclimated to the NFL, but I think he's quickly going to be set free. And here's why. And this stat is going to apply to a lot of the running backs that I'm going to discuss in this half of the video. Since 2015, running backs selected in round one and two, and I threw out the backs who got hurt. Like, I threw out Darius Geis, who didn't play at all that year. He tore his ACL. I threw out Dalvin Cook, who got hurt in the first month of the season. Anyone who didn't suffer a, you know, a early season-ending injury is counted in this. Guys like Ronald Jones, Rashad Penny from 2018, right? Who they didn't come through like we expected them to, but I counted them. Since 2015, so the last five draft classes, running backs selected in the first or second round have averaged 211 touches in their first season. And if you throw away that disastrous 2018 season, which isn't just, you know, guys like Penny and Ronald Jones, it's also throwing out Saquon Barkley. But if you throw that season away, they've averaged 230 touches in their rookie year. And running backs in the third round have averaged 177. We've had some great hits in the third round and some big misses in the third round. But that shows you that, you know, if a team is investing a first or a second round pick in you, especially in recent history, there's no more sitting a guy on the bench unless you're the Titans and you drafted Derrick Henry. But there's no more sitting a guy on the bench for a year or two, especially with running backs. Teams now know, hey, we got this guy on a very team-friendly rookie contract. Let's get the most out of him before we have to think about franchising him or paying him an extension, because we know how that's been going for running backs. So trust me, a lot of these early round running backs are going to be used heavily early on. So because of that, I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire as my RB16, and I have Damian Williams as my RB32. I think there still is value in Damian Williams, but this is CEH's backfield now. And again, these are my rankings in half point PPR, because I think they're easiest to translate to PPR into full PPR. But in full PPR, I think you can move CEH up to potentially RB14, RB13 maybe, in that range. So yeah, very, very excited for him landing there with the Kansas City Chiefs. Another backfield that is going to look very, very different this season is the Detroit Lions backfield. And if you remember last year, Keyshawn Johnson got hurt after the first seven games of the season, and boy was he, I mean, he missed a lot of time. And then that backfield was just atrocious. It was a revolving door that ranged from meh to just gross. And the Lions, we knew they were going to draft a running back. I mean, they were basically tied to every running back, every top running back in this class. And Kerryon Johnson hasn't been able to stay on the field the last 2 years. But again, Kerryon Johnson did stay healthy last year for the first 7 weeks. He wasn't effective as a runner. He averaged 51 rushing yards per game in those games and just 11.4 fantasy points per game. Plus, like I said, he hasn't been able to stay healthy the last 2 years. They paid a very hefty price to get DeAndre Swift. I think Swift is going to come in here. I think he's going to be the primary back. And he's a good pass catcher too. So I think we will see him for sure on early downs, mixed in maybe a little bit on third downs. I think we'll see Kerryon Johnson sprinkled in. I think he can get 8 to 12 touches a week. He'll probably be in the around 10, 11 per game, but I think it could fluctuate a little bit week to week. But here's why I like DeAndre Swift in this fit. Because their offensive coordinator, Darrell Bevell, his offenses have ranked in the top 5 in rush attacks in 4 of his last 7 seasons as a head coach. But the bad part is they've ranked outside the top 20 in pass attempts to running backs in that span. He does not throw the ball to the running back. So that hurts both of these guys, because both are good pass catching backs. So don't love that. But again, I do believe Kerryon Johnson is now the complementary piece here to DeAndre Swift's workhorse. And the last thing to like about the Detroit Lions, it's something that I've mentioned with the Chiefs, right? That they have these field stretchers that you can't stack guys near the line of scrimmage. Well, the Lions have some of their own field stretchers in Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay. And last year, Matt Stafford was up there with Pat Mahomes in air yards per throw. So he was airing the ball out more than we had seen in years from Matt Stafford. Because of that, because I think they're going to take more shots down the field with those big receivers, I think that can open up things near the line of scrimmage. It opens up a lot more short, little dump-off type passes to the running backs. And it just, if you can't stack 8 men in the box, and you can't just expect this Lions team to run like we did in Matt Patricia's first year as head coach, I think that you can actually have an effective running game there in Detroit. Another backfield that is going to look very different this year is the Indianapolis Colts. And the Colts went out and they used their second round pick on Jonathan Taylor. He was a lot of people's top running back heading out of this draft class. And now he goes into a team that had a proven starter in Marlon Mack, who rushed for 1,000 yards last year. I had Marlon Mack in fantasy last year, and I could tell you his numbers at the end of the year looked fine. He had some really big games and some really bad games. It was kind of like a roller coaster ride with him. Then you're going to have Nyheim Hines there as well, who was their pass-catching specialist. And this was a great landing spot for a running back. This was something I said before the draft. I didn't expect the Colts to draft a running back because I thought they were cool with their tandem of Mack and Hines. But I was hoping they would draft a potential three-down running back because that just, to me, it opens up so much, like I was saying, the unpredictability with that offense. Because right now, when Mack is out there, you expect them to run. When Hines is out there, you expect them to pass. But Jonathan Taylor can be a little bit of that three-down back that they don't really trust Marlon Mack to be. And here's why I don't love Marlon Mack. Last year, 38% of his rushing yards came in three games. And in his career, he has 12 games of over 80 rushing yards and 22 of 50 of less than 50 rushing yards. So, like I was saying last year, kind of up and down, Mack has been like that. And he's doing this behind one of the best offensive lines in football. Now you put Jonathan Taylor behind that Colts O-line. Whoo, that is going to be... Marlon Mack is also on a contract year, so the Colts could just let him walk after this year. And what I love most is that Phillip Rivers loves throwing to his running backs. I mean, literally no quarterback threw to their running backs more last year than Phillip Rivers. It's always been part of Phillip Rivers' game to check down to his running backs. And this is why having a back like Taylor is so important, because on first and second down, now you don't have to have Marlon Mack potentially catching passes from Phillip Rivers. Now you can have a guy like Jonathan Taylor who is more explosive, better with the ball after the catch. Again, Jonathan Taylor caught 26 passes last year at Wisconsin, and that may not sound like a lot to you, but Melvin Gordon came out with less than 30 career catches in Wisconsin, and he had 250-plus catches season in the NFL with Phillip Rivers. So I think that it's going to translate a lot to Jonathan Taylor having success. Right now, I have Jonathan Taylor as my RB20. He is my second highest-rated rookie running back. Marlon Mack is my RB42. I think Mack will be a factor early on, but I quickly expect Jonathan Taylor to throw him to the side. And then I think he just becomes kind of a handcuff because Nyheim Hines is never going to be more than that pass-catching specialist. He is my RB50, and again, this is half-point PPR. He'd be higher in PPR because, again, no one loves throwing to the running backs more than Phillip Rivers. Another backfield that now, because they drafted a rookie running back, is going to look a lot different post-NFL draft is the Los Angeles Rams. And we already knew they were going to look different because they got rid of Todd Gurley, and now they were sitting there with Malcolm Brown and Daryl Henderson. And remember last year, the Rams traded up in the third round to pick Daryl Henderson, so he had a ton of hype coming into this season, a dynasty darling, and then Cam Akers happened. Cam Akers, a lot of people, you know, he was a little bit of a volatile prospect coming out, but he was running behind literally the second worst rated offensive line out of 130 college football offensive lines last year. FSU's ranked 129th, and Cam Akers was still productive, so you'd love to see that. My only concern with him is the Rams ran the inside zone formation 36% of the time last season, and Akers in 2019 at FSU had just 28 attempts from the inside zone. And what that scares me is because running in the zone was something that we heard that Henderson struggled with when he came out of college. It was hard for him to learn Sean McVay's offense. So hopefully that is not the case for Cam Akers. I think Akers can come in and instantly be a three down back. I think Henderson then becomes the change of pace, potentially used on passing down back, and Brown is just depth at this point. I have Akers as my RB21, one spot behind Jonathan Taylor. I think that the upside for Akers is sky high because, remember, when the Rams were clicking on all cylinders a couple years ago, Todd Gurley was the best running back in football. I don't think Cam Akers can be the best running back in football as a rookie, but I think he has legitimate high upside RB2. Or maybe even if everything clicks, a low end RB1. Henderson for me is my RB41, and then I have Brown at RB67. Another interesting backfield now is the Baltimore Ravens. They went out and they drafted rookie J.K. Dobbins, who has great vision, and he is going to be an absolute stud in the future. But for this year, I still think he's going to be the second RB for the Ravens. I expect Mark Ingram to get the bulk of carries, especially early in the year. I have him ranked as my RB22 because of that. But I think there is room for Dobbins as well, because last year we saw Mark Ingram average 15 touches per game. And what I like about how they use Mark Ingram is they don't make him waste a lot of energy. He only played about half the snaps last year, because when he's not getting the ball, Gus Edwards is out there, or Justice Hill. They were using him kind of sparingly, and I think that is going to continue to be the plan even with Dobbins in place now. Edwards last year averaged 8.8 touches per game, and Justice Hill averaged 4.1. So I do think it is possible that Dobbins can average 10 to 12 touches per game early on. I think Ingram will still see his 15 or so. And again, this is a team, the Ravens run the ball more than anyone. They were going to continue to do so with Lamar Jackson, and just having Lamar and running the option and just Greg Roman and his running schemes, everything that the Ravens could do in the running game, is you want a piece of that running game. So Dobbins, I think after this year, when the Ravens move on from Mark Ingram, I think Dobbins becomes a legitimate RB1. But for this year, I have him ranked as my RB33. Again, Ingram is going to be 31 in December, so I think early on he's going to get a heavy workload. And then I think as the season goes on, Dobbins can really start to carve out a role. That's something we've seen in recent years. Like, the veteran will have the job early on for the first half of the season, and then the fresh leg rookie just comes in and runs away with the job in the second half. That is something I expect from this Ravens backfield. But again, Ingram at 22, Dobbins at 33. Dobbins is not just a handcuff, even though he is one of the top backups in football now. Because again, remember, Mark Ingram did hurt his calf and missed time last year due to that. So Dobbins is a rookie that you're going to want to write that name down and make sure you don't just view him as a backup or a handcuff or something like that. And then the last backfield I'm going to talk about in this half of the video is the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills went third-round pick on Zach Moss. Back to draft him, they said they weren't going in, it's like saying, all right, we have to get Zach Moss. But when they said he was the highest-rated player on their board, they went out and got him. We were all expecting the Bills to draft a running back. But I think the fact that they drafted Moss in the third round, that hurts Devin Singletary pretty badly, I think. Last year, and Bills GM Brandon Bean has already come out and said, we think Moss is going to be used a lot like Frank Gore was last year. Get the short yardage runs, get the goal line usage. And last year, inside the 10-yard line, Frank Gore had 17 touches. Josh Allen had 9. Devin Singletary had just 4. And then inside the 5, Frank Gore had 11. Josh Allen had 5. Devin Singletary had 2. So if Devin Singletary's floor is, you know, breakaway touchdowns, and anything close near the goal line is now going to Zach Moss or Josh Allen, I don't see how you can view Devin Singletary as anything more than a low-end RB2, and that's exactly where I have him ranked. He is my RB24, so he is literally on that fence of being an RB2 or a flex option. And I have Moss as my RB36 because I think we could see him get a lot of touchdowns. And Bean also said that Moss and Singletary could compete for early down usage too. So if they're competing for the early down carries, as well as, you know, we're going to see Moss get the goal line, I actually think that Moss's ceiling is probably higher, especially because I do think Singletary will be the pass catching back here. But Josh Allen last year averaged just 4.3 pass attempts per game to running backs that ranked very lowly in the NFL. So I'm very scared about Singletary. And right now I think Moss is actually a buy, because he is not going as an RB3. He's going more as a RB4, maybe even an RB5 in some of these early drafts that I'm seeing. So I right now, scared off of Singletary, and I think Moss is the one you got to keep an eye on. So these are some backfields that are going to look different in this year. These were all the running backs that went in the, you know, the first two or three rounds of the NFL draft. I'm going to do a part two of this that I hope you guys check out. It's going to talk about more backfields that added pieces in the draft and some that didn't, and clear and obvious winners that we had post NFL draft. So I hope you really check that out, breaking down a bunch of backfields for fantasy football, backfields that you probably have question marks about. So I hope that you guys have enjoyed this video. I hope you will be on the lookout for part two, which is definitely going to be dropping soon. You could check out all my videos, baseball or football, over at rotoballer.com or Rotoballer's YouTube channel. If you want to follow me, you could do so at Twitter at Michael F. Florio. And as always, Thank you so much for watching.